Hi Emma, thanks for making time to speak to us about the topic, Life When You're Struggling. For those of you who've not met Emma, she's the author of this book, A New Name, Grace and Healing for Anorexia. Emma also writes about identity and mental health on her blog that goes by this name. So welcome, Emma. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit more about yourself and how life in COVID has been.
Well, hi, and lovely to be with you all today. Life in COVID for me is looking after two small children. I'm married, and my husband, he works as an evangelist, and we've got two young children. One of them is six and one of them is three. And so lockdown means trying to keep them alive and keep all of us as sane as we can possibly manage. And we're based in Eastbourne, which is just south of London, sort of near the coast. But as you can hear, I'm originally from Northern Ireland, but moved here a few years ago. And my husband is from Australia, so our children will have very confused accents.
Global citizen.
Absolutely.
And I guess in a time like this, Emma, it's very easy for us to feel anxious, and maybe some of us have lost loved ones. I guess, has there been any particular struggles at this time for you, and how have you coped?
Well, I guess to give you a bit of background, so I grew up in Northern Ireland, very sort of happy, settled environment, very comfortable. But when I was 13, a number of things in my life changed. And I think those transitions, coupled with the kind of person that I am, and the sort of person I am, is quite, I guess I'm a perfectionist. I'd be a good girl. You know, I like ticking boxes, and I like keeping rules, and I like things to be neat and tidy, including me and my emotions. And when these life changes happened, so for example, my grandfather died, we moved house, I was bullied at school, and of course it was puberty, so my body was changing. They all combined, excuse me, to make me feel very messy and very unsettled. So I felt like I was, I felt like I was full of questions and full of needs that couldn't really be answered. What did it mean to be a woman? What did it mean when you lost someone you loved? How do you deal with death? At the same time, there was the emergence then of, excuse me, please, of AIDS.
Wow.
It was the first time, yeah, that we'd started hearing about this new disease. And we didn't know much about it, like how you got it. We just knew that you had to try not to get it, and it was important to sort of wash your hands and be careful. And so I guess that added to my sense of the world feeling like quite an unsafe place. And I did start going to church. My family aren't believers, aren't Christians. But I got the wrong end of the stick about God as well. And I thought God was like a headmaster. He was all about keeping rules and regulations. So I had this whole mixed up image of the world and God and myself. And to try and tidy up the mess, I guess, when you're 13, there's not a lot you can control, but you can control your own body. And it seemed to me that if I could shrink my body down, then I could also deal with all this mess. If I could make myself smaller and clean up the exterior mess, I could also silence all of those questions. I could simplify life with all of its problems and all of its fears and all of its anxieties and break down just to one thing: could I lose weight? So it wasn't that I looked in the mirror necessarily and thought, oh, I want to be a different dress size. It wasn't about how I looked. It was about managing how I felt and trying to clean out or to simplify or to deal with these stresses and these fears, the sense that I was out of control, the sense that the world was a dangerous place, and questions of identity and meaning in life. And I got some treatment for that. And while I was getting treatment for anorexia, I developed obsessive compulsive disorder, which is, I'm sure many, as many of you know, it's where you have intrusive thoughts that can only be kept at bay by doing certain rituals. For me, it was hand washing my hands all the time. And that was like a transference of the fears that went into the eating disorder that went on to now being obsessed with cleaning. So that's a bit of the background to my story growing up. Those are some issues that I've had at different points in my life, along with anxiety and depression. And what's interesting is that as COVID has come up this time round, it's raised many of the same sort of spectres in the background. So, you know, we're being told that the world really is out of control. Again, there's this disease out there that you can catch and we don't quite know how to manage it. But the main thing is to keep washing your hands and to keep away from other people. We're being isolated, and mental illness, I think, thrives in isolation. And there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety around, you know, one of the things that you're worried about with OCD, or I was anyway, was that if I didn't follow these rituals, I would harm the people that I loved. And again, that's something that's being repeated now, isn't it? You know, be careful, or you might hurt someone you love. You know, you might unwittingly bring them into contact. So for me, COVID has brought up a lot of these old fears, old concerns. And I know that it does that for many people across many different areas of mental health. So those who are struggling with, for example, addiction or anxiety or, you know, panic attacks, those who suffer from depression, all of these things are acting as triggers for folks whose mental health is suffering. And in fact, for many people who haven't struggled with their mental health, it's raising it as a big issue for them for the first time, as we have to deal with being isolated from people we love, and, you know, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of change, losing our routines, and the fear that seems to be surrounding us right now.
Wow. And I guess just a quick follow-up question there, how have you coped in kind of a environment where it can trigger lots of past hurts and fears?
Well, I think in the past, my coping strategies would have been to have gone to routines or rituals of some kind, whether that was hand washing, or maybe it was over exercising, maybe it was throwing myself into work. That's a big in the past, one of the things that I've done is to work very hard, because that gives me, again, a sense of stability. However, I find that these things only set me up for more failure. That the more that I try, it's very appealing, isn't it, when the world is a mess, to take that mess on yourself and to say, well, there's a big problem out here, but if the problem is something I can do, then I can also fix it as well. And to try and fix it in lots of different ways. The difficulty being then that actually a lot of the things we're facing right now aren't within our control, and they are not things that we can fix, particularly not with, you know, trying to manage our routines. That there are some things in our lives that we can change, but I can't, you know, I can't change whether or not, for example, my parents become sick, or I become sick, or I lose someone I love, or these are things that are out of my hands. So what helps me, I think, is the same thing that helped me really as an adult. When I had treatment for anorexia and OCD growing up, but it really focused on behaviour. It didn't focus on the heart issues that were behind it. And that's helpful to a point. But what it meant was that as an adult, whenever I became stressed again, this is when I was in my mid-20s, the same patterns came back, and this time round I nearly died of the eating disorder. But I think there was one evening my grandmother had died and we were very close. I couldn't go to her funeral, and that night I kind of cried out to God, not the sort of headmaster God that I thought I knew, but actually the God of the Bible, Jesus. And I just said, look, God, I don't really know very much about you. I've been trying to clean myself up and sort out my own life, but it's a bit of a mess and I'm dying. Please, if you're there, would you show me? And as I read through the Bible, I read about a very different Lord to the one that I had imagined. Because the Bible says that God the Father, we see him in Jesus, his son. So if you want to see what God is like, you don't just make him into a bigger version of what you're like. You look in scripture and you meet Jesus. And Jesus in the Bible is described as this radiant and incredible figure. He is, first of all, a lion. He's described as the Lion of Judah. So this lion-like Lord who is in charge of everything, which means that the world is not out of control. I do not need to take it on myself. I don't need to try and make things okay. God has got this whole universe in his hands. And you know what? Throughout the ages, throughout the Bible times and up until now, there have been many, many plagues and many, many diseases. And God has brought his people through and will continue to do that. Mm-hmm. So this image of the lion who could be trusted and who was in control, that was very powerful to me. But as I read on, I found another description of Jesus as well, not just a lion, but also described as a slain lamb, a lamb that was killed. And in Revelation it says, this lamb, Jesus, was killed for you and for me. He went willingly and died on a cross. And why did he do that? You know, why did the Lord of the universe, this amazing and terrible and beautiful and powerful lion, make himself into a lamb that was killed? Well, he did it because we are separated from him by all of the mess that I was feeling inside. And that mess is, you know, it's, the Bible describes it as sin, the ways people hurt us, the way we hurt other people, the ways we reject God. But whereas in my life, I was trying to kind of, in a sense, redeem myself, pay for myself by cleaning my own body or by shrinking my own body, by making these rules and almost like a religion for myself to make myself better. Jesus says, look, Emma, I see you as you really are and I love you. And I come on the cross and I die for you. I take all this mess on my body. You don't take it on yours. And he says that to every single one of us, because the Bible also says that whatever we face, everybody is messed up. Everybody has a heart that needs rescue, even though it looks very different. And the Lord comes, he makes himself into this lamb and he dies and is raised again. And he makes things right for us. And he gives us a new identity. So I don't build a new name for myself. I don't try and redeem myself by the way that I look or the way that I perform or, you know, any number of things like that. I look to Jesus and there I find my identity. And there I find not a list of rules and regulations, which is what I thought God was about. I find an irresistible and beautiful person, the God who became a man, who wants a relationship with me and with you and with all of us. And he is more beautiful than any addiction or even an anorexia. You know, because in the past, whenever I've had therapy and so on, which can be useful to a point, it says things like, why would you like to get better? Well, you might want to get better because you'll have more energy or people won't worry about you so much or, you know, you'll be able to look better. But the things that I felt like I was losing with anorexia were things like, well, anorexia gives me my identity. It gives me a sense of purpose. It makes me feel powerful. It simplifies my life. It answers my questions. And so I need a lot more to tackle something that has all of these heart issues than simply just looking better. And when I met Jesus, here I met for the first time someone, a Lord who was more beautiful than anybody else and who actually saw who I was, who sees who we all are, because we all wear masks to some extent, but he sees behind the masks and he loves us and he has purposes for us. And he doesn't say, look, clean yourself up, then come to me. He says, come to me for the bath and I'll show you what life is all about. And so that's a very long-winded way of answering your question. How do I deal with the stresses of COVID today? Well, I know that I have this Lord who walks alongside me, and that even though I still feel afraid and I still am tempted to listen to my heart, which says everything is frightening, the world is out of control, you know, you should give up, you need to panic, things are terrible. I know that there's a Lord who walks alongside me and that he is in charge, that he will never leave me, and that he has purposes for me, and that he is the lamb who is broken and understands my weakness and my need, but also the lion and the Lord who is in control and can be trusted and can take care of me.
That's an amazing story, Emma, and lots of food for thought. And I guess, you know, if we're honest with ourselves here at KPMG and for those on the line, I think we would say we resonate with a lot of the feelings that you've expressed. Now at our firm, of course, mental health is the top of our agenda. And just a concluding thought, Emma, you know, we quite like our elevator pitches here in the city. You know, we've got our 24-hour hotline, we've got our wellness apps. You know, why would you say to someone, consider Christianity, consider the person of Jesus?
Well, that's a great question. And I think hopefully my story helps to illustrate that. You know, I've as I say, I've had lots of different mental health issues, and I will do, I think, for the rest of my life to some extent. You know, what's interesting with mental health is I'm not saying that you meet Jesus and suddenly the next day all of your problems disappear. That is not what the Bible says at all. What it does say is that in the hardship, we have a Lord who walks with us and who understands, because he has felt all that we have felt, and he cares for us and he can do something about it. So what I would say is, you know, I've had a lot of different kinds of therapy, and they are really useful. Things like meditation, mindfulness, and all the rest. You know, they can be great, and absolutely, we should be accessing medical care alongside spiritual care. Mm. But certainly, in my experience, those things can help with a lot of behaviors. They can help even with our brain or our chemistry. But the heart inside of me, the heart that wakes up feeling that everything is out of control, the heart that says the world is a scary place, the heart that wants to fix myself, and the heart that is afraid and alone at times and messed up, therapies can't reach that. But the Lord Jesus can. He is the one Lord who sees us as we are, as we really are, all of us, our whole selves, our body, our minds, our souls. He can change us from the inside out. He will never leave us, and he's not a system of principles or rules. He's a person. And so I guess it's a bit like, you know, it would be a bit like me saying, I'd like you to imagine that you are in love with someone and act like you're in love with them. You'd be like, well, no, how can I do that? Instead, you say, meet the person themselves and you will fall in love, and then you'll see. And that's what I would say about Jesus. It's not that following him gives you a new system of rules or principles, which is what therapies often do and are quite helpful for. Mm. He is a person, and he will transform everything about you and everything about your life in wonderful ways. And that's frightening, but that's liberating as well. And it means that although therapies can offer us help and breakthroughs to a certain extent, with the Lord, that is not limited. And he brings you into a bigger story that is more beautiful and more exciting and more frightening and more wonderful than you could have imagined. And that is life. So it's not just, I have a problem with depression, or I've got a problem with despair, and I want God to kind of come along and help me in that, you know. It is, I'm getting caught up into his story. And as I do that, I see myself and I see my brain and I see my heart in a completely different way. And actually, the Bible gives me tools to understand why I'm the way I am, and hope and ways forward in a way that nothing else can. Sorry, excuse me. Let's turn that off.
Okay.
So yeah, that would be why.
Thanks so much, Emma. So just a person, not principles. I think that's a big takeaway for myself. And so perhaps for those of you on the call, I hope it's given you food for thought about how you might cope with life when we're struggling. Next up, we have Callum Elwood, who would give us a short talk before we come back together for an extended session of Q&A. Thank you, everyone.